It's News Talk 1400, KFRU. I like these kinds of segments. Maybe it's because I see myself needing these kinds of segments as I get a little bit older. This is a segment where we're going to talk about, as you age, how are you going to take care of yourself in certain ways where you stay physically able to do things? Evan Pro is a physical therapist. He has an interest in geriatrics, certified expert in the exercise for the aging adult by the Academy of Geriatric Physical Therapy, and also an associate teaching professor in the University of Missouri Doctorate of Physical Therapy Program. Nice to welcome you. How are you?
Thank you. Nice to talk to you, David.
And then also Lori Rawlings is here, a physical therapist who is going to talk about her business and what she asks of the people who you encourage people to come and do something, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
It's like, this is what's my line. let's start out with a term that I threw out a moment ago, planned inconvenience. What is the definition of planned inconvenience?
Well, it's establishing habits in your daily life that will increase your physical activity. Let me give you some examples. For example, you go to the store. Instead of driving up and down the aisles looking for the closest place, assuming you're not handicapped spot.
You're talking in the parking
then
lot.
In the parking lot or the big box store, you mm-hmm. park out on the corner where you're not going to get a door ding, and then you walk just a little bit further. So there's an example. A second example, look for the stairwell instead of taking the elevator.
I do that when I check into hotels.
Good for you.
It's amazing to me how many hotels there are that
oh, it's very, you have to be disciplined. You have to like really look for it. Sometimes can't find it.
A few years ago, I asked at the front desk, I said, well, I'm only on the second or third floor. I said, I'd like to use the stairs. And they said,
where are they?
well, you can't do that.
Not a question we've had.
I know. It's like, you can't do that. I said,
yeah, you could walk up the escalator.
You couldn't have built this place without stairs, but it wasn't possible because of the way they use the doors and where they put it. Okay,
here's an idea. If you're at your desk, put the trash can in another room so that when you have to throw something away, you have to get up, stand up, move to the other room. Or how many minutes do we stand in front of the microwave just waiting? Like, okay, 60 seconds, I'm waiting. Well, do some toe rises then, or maybe stand on one leg, challenge your balance a little bit. If you're attending a class, a lecture, or maybe you're at a concert, go to the back row, stand up. Mm. Maybe dance a little bit if it's a concert. if you're on a road trip, build in an extra 30, 60 minutes of time so that you can stop at multiple rest areas and get up and move. If you play bridge or mahjong, hey, you know, don't sit for 3 hours playing bridge. Get up, move around. And what research has shown us, there was a study done in Australia, and they had three groups, and they had them all sit for 5 hours. Group number one, that's all they did, sat for 5 hours. Group number two, every 20 minutes they got up and moved, walked around for just 2 minutes, okay? In the third group, they walked around for 2 minutes also, but they did more vigorously. What they found, they measured their blood sugar. And what they found that at the end of the 5 hours, both the group who just walked around and the group who walked around kind of jogging vigorously, both of them had significantly lower blood sugar at the end. So the risk of diabetes, chronic heart disease, all these things. So that's, you know, just a stinking 2 minutes every 20 minutes. Just keep that in your mind. Just get up and move.
All right. See if you like this definition. Right? Planned inconvenience would be then list all the things that you like to list as far as I'm lazy, and then do the opposite.
That'd be a good start. You have to be creative. You have to be willing to be just a little different or weird sometimes too, you know.
I think of it when I put on my socks or something like that. I'll say, I'm going to stand and try to balance as I do that rather than sit down on a chair or the side of the bed and do that.
When I'm walking down the block in my neighborhood, I'll like walk on the curb just to challenge my balance a little bit.
I do that also on the things that are in parking lots or on curbs like that,
exactly.
on the whatever those things are called where you can't pull over them.
Yeah
and I have it in my daughter. I wonder sometimes at a person though, and I will continue to do that because I don't wonder to the point where I'm not going to do that, but I think that is, I'm glad you said that because that's something that I try to do. And I'm thinking, do I look like an idiot to be at my age
doing
that?
Well, you have to be a little bit weird.
I guess
you
do.
Be silly a little bit.
But these are like alternatives to saying, I'm going to plot out an exercise trip
now,
to a gym, or I'm going to say 30
now,
minutes, I'm going to exercise.
Let me make one thing really clear.
Yeah.
I am in no way saying that the 20 to 30 minutes, 3 to 5 times a week of aerobic exercise at moderate to vigorous intensity is not beneficial. decades and decades of research shows us that that is the case, certainly. However, a study at the University of Florida, they studied 80,000 postmenopausal women, and they followed them for 14 years, and they kept track of their activity. They put, like, Fitbits, accelerometers, and so how much time they were sitting, how much time they were moving around. And they followed them for 14 years. And, well, no surprise, if they sat over 7 hours, you know, then they had a higher risk, 14 years later, higher rate of diabetes. So that's kind of a so what. But the exciting thing, very interesting thing about that study is that even those same individuals who went to the gym, did what they were supposed to be doing, they still had an independent risk for coronary artery disease, diabetes. In other words, if you work in Jeff City, if you live in Columbia, you work in Jeff City, let's say you get up, you go to the ARC, you do what you're supposed to do, get your 20, 30 minutes, great. You get in your car, you drive, you're sitting, you know, 40, 45 minutes, then you have a job where you spend a lot of screen time, sit at meetings, then you drive home. Maybe you take it easy that evening. If that's your lifestyle, it's great. It's fantastic that you go to the ARC or to the trail in the morning. However, greater than 7 hours of that. And you know, what the good news is, that's good news and bad news. The good news is that what this other study showed is that just every 20 minutes, just get up and wiggle, you know, 2 minutes, everybody can spare 2 minutes.
A 30-minute block of physical activity does not counteract several hours of inactivity.
Greater than seven in a day's time.
Well, let's talk to Lori Rawlings here for just a moment. So now, what are you advocating? What kind of activity or what are you telling people that they could do more of?
The direction that I've gone in the last couple of years is for prevention and wellness for older adults. And one of the very legitimate concerns is accidental falling and injuries from falling. And the good news is most falls are multifactorial. There's more than one reason why they happen, and most of those factors we can impact.
By doing what?
Well,
working on balance?
One of the main things that we can do is evidence-based programs that make a difference to decrease our fall risk. One of the chief ones that has come to light is Tai Chi. And we have a wonderful Tai Chi available to us that is geared towards people who have arthritis and have fall concerns.
Explain Tai Chi. People may have seen the term. They may have heard of that, but they're not quite sure what it is.
Yeah, and I understand that. I'm new to Tai Chi myself, just in the last couple of years. And the main reason I got into it was because of the evidence-based programs that show that it helps. So Tai Chi is based on a martial art. It's not really done as a martial art anymore. It's mainly done for health. And when we do the exercises, when we do the form, sometimes we can imagine how maybe it used to be used as a martial art, but one of our favorite jokes is it works really well on slow motion muggers.
I see that.
Yeah,
because I've seen people practicing this. It's very slow movement.
It's very slow. Tai Chi, one of the characteristics of it is that it's all on our feet. We do it upright. Now, the program that we use, we have chairs available for everyone, and everybody is invited and encouraged to stay within their comfort zone and to tailor it to their bodies.
How long does a Tai Chi session last?
Typically, we'll do a Tai Chi session for 45 minutes or an hour. The Tai Chi that I teach, we always have a sitting break, and everyone's invited to sit anytime they want to.
What age do you start with?
You know, really, it's for all ages. I've taught Tai Chi to friends, children as young as six, and it was very fun. But the program that I teach is geared more toward the older adults, 55 plus.
Where do you teach this?
I teach at the ARC right now. I'm hoping to get some classes started in other locations. And Sandy Matsuda also teaches at the ARC. She's a wonderful
teacher. So you can find information about your classes at the ARC?
Yes.
At the Activities and Recreation Center.
Yes.
How hard is it to learn?
Well, we call it easy Tai Chi. It is not hard to learn. And the program that we use is designed to be very easy to learn. We learn it in little increments. And the wonderful thing about this Tai Chi is as long as you're on your feet and you're moving slowly and you're moving intentionally, you're doing Tai Chi. So you're doing it from the first time you start working on it.
It seems to me like if I remember right, thinking about Tai Chi, it doesn't only do something for your, kept you moving. And also I would say that was part of the balance and just the gracefulness of, mm-hmm. of pursuing life. But also I suppose there's a mental
yes.
calming or centering of this. Is
there,
that correct?
There is. Yeah, there absolutely is. And that's one of the comments that I get, some of the feedback that I get from the participants, is they feel like it not only slows them down during the class, but they're more mindful and they're moving slower just in life in general. And it, one of our favorite sayings is, there's no hurry in Tai Chi.
Uh-huh.
So we kind of talk about the Tai Chi bubble. Where else do you get to have that motto? It's very nice.
Evan Pro, what are your thoughts about this?
I could just add that there's research that shows that it lowers blood pressure.
Yes.
It does lower blood pressure. Is it hard, though, in your experience, and I'm not asking Lori now, I'm going to ask you, Evan, what do you see in your working with those who you'll say as a physical therapist with an interest in geriatrics? What is the biggest hurdles, the biggest hurdle to overcome? Is it just because, oh, you know, I'm too tired to do this, or I haven't done this, or that would be silly? What do people say? They have excuses?
When I hear somebody say that, my reply is that take baby steps.
I was going to ask you that.
Very small changes.
And even if you haven't done it for a long time, you should some way start to move.
Yes, yes. Baby steps. Make your initial changes be very small. Mm-hmm. And ask yourself the question, how, if something's important to you, ask yourself the question on a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being very extremely important and 0 being you don't care. How important is this to you to, you know, what, for example, let's say do Tai Chi or to improve my balance, say. If you can say it's 8 or above, then go with it. If it's like 6, then what you need to do is scale it back. In other words, instead of saying, I'm going to go to the ARC 5 times a week, well, maybe I'll just walk around the block twice a week. Hey, 8 out of 10 on that. If I go to the ARC, well, I'm probably 4 out of 10 on that. So you scale your goals so that you are 8 out of 10 confident that you will follow through and do it. And the research shows that that is a ticket for success.
A goal could be even more simple than that. A goal could be it's an 8 or 9 for me to be able to park in the farthest parking spot at church and be able to walk in without feeling winded.
Absolutely.
And then you would have to say, how do I get to that point? And then it would be, well, I'll have to try to walk more during the week.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to be able to get on the floor with my grandkids and be able to get up without having a crane. And then you would say, how do I get to that? And then you would find ways to slowly implement different activities that would say, oh, okay, I think I can do that now.
Yeah, baby steps.
So when are your Tai Chi classes?
We have some classes that are accepting beginners after the eclipse.
Okay.
Starting after the eclipse.
Well, if we're all around after the eclipse, we'll have to head over there and do that. I'm not sure what's going to be the...
Yeah, and...
So, again, schedule available at the ARC?
Yes, you can call the ARC. I can give you my contact information.
Please.
For other classes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a phone number or website?
Yeah.
Or what?
Yeah, you can give me a call, Lori Rawlings, 864-3702. You can call me or text me.
Okay.
And my email is youthrenewedwellness@gmail.
youthrenewedwellness@gmail.
Yes. Love to hear from you. And it's always nice to have a list of people that are interested to help form a class.
Okay.
So.
Tai Chi.
Yes.
Give it a try. Give it a thought. I've thought about suggesting that for my mom, but
I bet she'd love it.
It would be. Go ahead.
I could comment one thing about. Yeah. I learned Tai Chi probably 30 years ago, and I took it with a group of other then young people. I was a younger person 30 years ago, and the framework for that was it was challenging. We learned like a whole form that took, maybe 10 minutes to perform. Now, when I have participated in the classes that Lori teaches, the first class probably spends the entire session doing 2 moves and Mm-hmm. Whenever I learned it 30 years ago in the first class, we probably learned 15 moves.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so you think, how could you learn, how could you spend an hour on two moves? You can.
Yeah.
You really can.
Evan Pro, thank you. Appreciate you being here. Lori Rawlings, thank you. And again, folks, the idea is to plan some inconvenience into your daily life that will make you move so that you could become a little healthier and also continue to move. It's News Talk 1400 KFRU.